Good afternoon, my friends. First, umuna. Rasulat sudko. Ingat yoman no mawatam tilokano. Ingat yoman, ima. Pastor, they're all going to follow me now. They volunteered to follow me. Magandang salamat sa ko. Paiso kadi. Instead ng dahito yung shopping center Lucky Plaza, di ba? Is it true? It's called Lucky Plaza because this is where all the Filipinos come. Oh, isang ganon. Yeah, konakke. I bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I spent 2.5 weeks there recently. And, of course, I love the chance to return. But my main reason was to collect some information for my studies, which is why I'm here in Singapore. And so some of you have graciously agreed to fill out my survey. This is for my doctorate, so you are helping me. So, saan yung pang inawat? Awatan nyo, ah? Basta Filipino kayo, no? Saan kayo Filipino? Di, awat. Bagsak. Sorry, Pastor Paul. You're not Filipino, so you don't need to fill this one. So, i-fill up mo man, ah? Last year when I was here, I had the chance to share a story about the 20th anniversary of my motorcycle accident in the Philippines that dramatically changed my life. It was something that I didn't look for. I didn't want it to happen. No one likes to break their legs and their shoulders and then be driven home when you didn't want to go. So, but the Lord used it in my life. Okay, He truly used it in my life. So that was 20 years ago. Ngayon, adamit na pasamak sing 50 atawen idi. Mamati kayo, 50 atawen idi. 50 years ago, adagamin na pasamak idi biag ko oray no ubing aklaunay. Onse la ang titawan ko. So tata nga malem, kahit kung agistorya besit, dahil to'y napasamak kanyak, king kasno mausar niya po Diyos, dahil ta iti biag ko. I promise you, Pastor Paul, I'm not saying anything heretical. Okay, you can put the first screen on. August 6th, 1969. Kaskunak. Limapulong atawan idi. The picture of that clock, I'll go like this. Okay? Thank you, boss. That clock on the wall is actually a clock that went through a tornado. Now, a tornado is different than a bagyo. Ada madamang bagyo ijay ayanti states, tata. Jay Florida, ayanti anak ko nga maysa. Madanagan ngem kasi ti apo kaslahan nga nakadanon diay. Ayan na ngem ammok mariknak mapadasak ti bagyo. Mano kare ko nga agdijang ijay Pilipinas idi 1993 idi Typhoon Goring. Maligit ti kare 1993 kamaladaga kayo amin siguro. Hanyo malagit. Napadasak guro ti signal 4 nga bagyo ijay Isabela. Karo. Ngem siyempre, nadamag yun nga at dati umay nga bagyo. Tidakil nga pagijatan ti bagyo ken ti tornado, gulpi nga agparang ti tornado. That's the difference between a tornado and a hurricane. You have warning of a hurricane, no warning about a tornado. So this last August 6th was the 50th anniversary of a tornado. Okay, you can do the next slide. This is a picture of my Aunt Kathy, manang ni tatang ko, her husband Harold, and their two sons, my cousins. They were a part of Bethany Church, the school, the missionary training center. And you go to the next picture. And they were up in a resort in northern Minnesota, about 3 hours, Ayanti Bethany, Minneapolis. So, idijay-jay nga lugar, isog pagbakasyonanda. Adam, may sa unodong alawas nga gundawad nga agbakasyon. So, napandajay. Malagip ko launa iti tawan ti sakbay na iti sangapulo ti tawan kaon kinadwakida nga mapansajay. Kit magpintas. Isu talaga nagbanit kami kaya naduti binitan me. Oh, naragsakak nga ay am. So, siyempre, isang apulo tawan ka. Anya, pampanunutan ti isang apulo nga tawan nga ubing, I am, di ba? Oh. So, dinawat ko nga, dimawat na mabaling na sumura ko nga ang didak pinalubusan. Sige, kasta. So, napanday jay. Nakapinpintas ng lugar. At may tagari kakadwadan nga talong pamilya dahil jay. Ada na itidata nga picture, makita mo ti duwa nga basik nga patakter, ada pay duwa jay nga ato. So, upat na aming nga patakter, nga basik nga balay, pagbakasyonanda. Itidata nga petsa ti August 6th, mga alas 5 ti malem, ada nang egda nga uni, nga handa madlaw no anya nga taday jay. Ngayon, kasla train, kunada, nakapigpigsa nga uni. Ket pagamuan nagtry dagiti tao nga nagapudya nga to ket kun kunada adda nakita mi nga tornado. Jebalasyo ti danaw. So simbrek aming at tao nga da jebaba iti unig da dya nga patakter. So iti da dya may sanga balay adda sanga pulo ket siyam nga tao. Unig ti may sanga patakter. Pati da je antik nga Carol, ay Kathy, je kasinsing ko nga Paul, kanda je kasinsing ko nga Dan. Da je uncle ko ni Pastor Brocky, Pastor Isuna, ti problema ni Pastor Brocky ka dandani bulsek. Ka opera da je nga matana, inikata da je cornea ti matana, ket insukata ti je baro, so talaga bulsek. So ni Pastor Brocky, rimwar ti balay. Ket inigman na ti may sanga kayo ijay. Madanaganda. I can speak English, yes. So I will try to use the English. Sorry if my English is bad. So my uncle Harold, he went outside the cabin, and his oldest son Dan saw him and he ran after him and he was holding a tree because it was very windy. And they both hit the ground, okay, because of the strong wind. And while they were on the ground, the tornado came and it struck the house, and everything changed. Okay? All of the houses, gone. All of the trees, gone. All of the cars, gone. They estimate that the speed of the wind was about 400 kilometers per hour. So what happened was, looking at that picture, the tornado came from across the lake and it literally lifted the house and everything else and sucked it into a wall of water. So, takayong Ilocano, impurwak na! It literally threw the houses into the water. It was like a wall. And so when my cousin stood up, my uncle couldn't see. So my uncle asked his son, "What do you see?" My cousin said, "Nothing." Everything is gone. So the house with 19 people in it was thrown into the lake. Hundreds of feet. 100 meters into the lake. Next picture. So if you remember the road that led up the hill to the cabins, you couldn't see them because of all the trees. After the tornado, that's what was left. No houses, very few trees. Next picture. You can, for years afterwards, these were not little trees. These were big trees, like this big around. Those were not little trees. They were big trees. For years, 10, 15 years after the tornado, you could see the path of this tornado. And so my cousin, of course, was looking out into the lake for his mom, his brother, and other people. And fortunately, he began to see people coming up from the water because the house was destroyed and people were just little by little coming up out of the water. And so most of them, praise the Lord, survived, but there were several that were because they were battered by the wood and the other things that they found. Five people that had died, but there were two that they hadn't found. One of them was my younger cousin Paul, and then a little girl who was 5 years old. Next picture. You can see the path of the tornado there. Those are big trees, literally. It just walked through the woods. Next one. And so they couldn't find my cousin, and they couldn't find this other little girl. And so they assumed that they had died, but they didn't know. Well, that clock that I showed at the beginning that said 5 o'clock, a las cinco. About a half an hour after that event that had happened, they called my mother. And I was only 11. And I remember when my mom, I remember to this day, 50 years ago, when my mom got that call. The look on her face told me that something serious had happened. And I remember looking at the clock. It was right by our telephone. And it was about 5:30 in the afternoon. So then what happened was my dad and some others went up to help. Because my dad was my aunt's younger brother. And so he drove up and helped them and ultimately drove back my cousin Dan and his dad. But they still hadn't found my cousin. And so the next day, I was imagining that all of these possibilities about where my cousin was. Oh, maybe he went somewhere else. Or he's escaped somehow. Because my cousin was only 13. And I couldn't comprehend that he was gone. Sibi Biagpai, come on. But my Lolo, my grandpa, he said, Steve, Paul is dead. Okay? He had to say it to me directly. And so, I mean, what could I say? I was very sad and I was very confused. The next day, or the day after, they did find his body and the body of the little girl. So then the following Monday, there was a funeral. Okay, next slide. So this is the inside of the church. If you can see it, there are seven coffins there. Seven caskets were lined up in front of the church. Two families lost three family members. One was a. Two of them were missionaries to China that were around 80 years old, but they were still strong. And there was a couple children, in addition to my cousin who passed away. So at the funeral, I was one of the pallbearers. I was only 11 now. But I do remember this about that service. There was great hope in Jesus and the resurrection about, in spite of that horrible thing. So next picture. This is again from a newspaper. And there were, you know, seven hearses lined up to eventually take them to the cemetery. Going back a couple days, when my parents went up to help and my two younger brothers stayed with my grandma and grandpa, I stayed with my friend's house. And all night long, I cried. Now, I'm not naturally an emotional person. I don't cry very easily. But all night long, I could do nothing but cry. Because I just could not understand how such a thing could happen to my cousin Paul. Because Paul was the first evangelist that had come into my life. It was my cousin Paul who really talked to me in a way I could understand about Jesus. He could relate to me in a way that no pastor could. In fact, my cousin Dan told me a story about his brother, and that somehow it seemed like he knew that his time was short, because even though his father was the pastor of the church and his mom was the assistant to the missions director, he was concerned for their souls. In fact, he had asked his mom, "You and Dad and Dan are ready, aren't you? You know, ready for what? Ready to meet Jesus?" And his mom said, "Well, yes, we're ready." And Paul simply said, I just want to make sure that we will all be together." So it's like he had some kind of sense that something was going to happen. So this day, August 6th, is specially highlighted on my Google Calendar every year. And the reason that it isn't simply because of this tragedy, but it's what the Lord did in the midst of this tragedy. As I mentioned, when I was staying with my friends, all I could do was cry. I was crying. Now, next slide. Oh, you see? Evidence that I was a boy at one time. So this was me in fifth grade. I was 10 years old. I can kind of remember what was going on in the mind of this guy. Do me a favor. Show the next one and then go back. Oh, look at that one and go back. Oh. Something happened, huh? Something happened to me between grade 5 and grade 6. Because as I said, Paul was the first person to preach the gospel to me in a way that I understood. And when I was commissioned as a missionary in 1985, and I was giving my testimony, what I mentioned to the people that were there is, Paul was Jesus to me, because Jesus was speaking through my cousin to me again and again and again. Okay, next picture. Now, I didn't just become a serious young man when I became 11. Okay, I know I'm wearing a tie. Okay. And I know I don't have a kind of a dangerous look on my face. But something seriously did happen between those 2 years. And when I was wrestling with the situation that had been brought into my life, my cousin was dead, my auntie was almost killed, I was confused, I was sad, I was angry in some ways. And I couldn't sleep. And so I remember I got out of my bed and I went to my friend's living room, his sala. And there was a picture window in the living room. And I remember looking out just like this. I remember looking out early in the morning. And I was confused and I was a sad little boy. But it was then that I heard a very distinct voice and a very clear word. And my mind became focused as I considered what I heard. Okay, next slide. The word that came into my mind was that there's more to life than playing baseball. When I heard that word, I was frankly very surprised because, like, where did that thought come from? That was not my thought because it wasn't like God was giving me a word of comfort. He wasn't bringing me a comforting word, nor was it an explanation of why what had happened. But really what it was a challenge. Karitinak ni Apo Diyos. Even as an 11-year-old, God was challenging me with the idea that there is more to this life than simply doing what you want. And for me, as an 11-year-old, that meant playing baseball, playing a game. And so even though it was a word that was a challenging word to me, there's more to life than playing baseball, it brought tremendous comfort to me. Why? Because it's truth based on the Word of God, framed in a way an 11-year-old boy could understand. God didn't speak deep theological truth to me as an 11-year-old boy. He just told me straight and simple, what you're living your life for now is not what you should be living your life for. There is more to life than that. Because, truthfully, like most 11-year-old boys, playing was the thing that was the most important to me. So what that moment did for me was basically change the direction of my life. I was no longer content to simply play. I mean, I played. I liked to play. It's not like I became a very serious little boy, even though I didn't wear a tie all the time. The reason I wore a corbata that year was because all three of us boys were in school at the same time, and my mom wanted a nice picture. So, naka corbata kayo na palo. That's what she said. You three are wearing ties for this picture. It's the only year you're going to be in school together. So we did. But what I found was I enjoy playing sports, still do, but it just did not satisfy. So 3 years after that happened was when I fully surrendered to God. I started going to a youth group where I heard the gospel preached. And as a 14-year-old then, I repented of my sins. I recognized that God had been pursuing me. It's like what happened then. I realized God is pursuing me. And my eyes were opened. And so I said yes to Him at 14. So I remember distinctly, oh, this is what the Lord meant when he said that. There's more to life than playing baseball. It's about following Jesus. And yes, that was true, but the Lord continued to expand on what that simple word meant. About 7 years later, I was at school at Bethany, going to Bible school, and the third year we spent overseas, so I was in Puerto Rico. And at that point in my life, I was not considering becoming a missionary. I just didn't think that was something that I could do or would want to do or would be good at doing. But it was while I was in Puerto Rico that I had a chance to lead a Bible study for some English-speaking people at the Salvation Army. They asked me, and I said, okay, why not? I'm here, supposed to be missionary training. I should do something like this. So I did. And the thing that amazed me was, as bad as I was as a 20-year-old trying to lead Bible study, seven guys ultimately made a commitment to Jesus. They asked me to teach the Bible study because my uncle was Harold Brockie, the pastor of the church. It doesn't really work that way. Just because your dad is a pastor, that does not mean that you naturally be a pastor, or especially if your uncle is a pastor. And I'm not even blood related to Pastor Brockie. So I said, now that's why you chose me, huh? All right. What would Pastor Brockie do? He would preach on Romans. So that was my text. So every Friday night, I went to the Salvation Army with a Bible study, and we were gonna go through the book of Romans. And every night, they had a question I could not answer. But I said, I'm sorry, I don't know. I will look into it this week and we'll talk about it next week. That's what happened every week. I don't know. I will look and I will come back and talk to you. I was very stubborn about going to the Bible study. I went every Friday night, whether I felt like it, whether I felt I had a good lesson or not. Because I know the Lord had given me this opportunity. And I was probably one of the most surprised of all when I found out that these guys wanted to become Christians. Because I know it wasn't about my dynamic Bible teaching. Ubing akpai, iti pamati, kinuuray pa iti panangisuro. I was not some great teacher at 20 years old. Two things. The power of the Word of God, and my commitment to proclaiming it. It changed those people's lives. It was that. There's more to life than playing baseball. This is what that is. And so I realized right then that I didn't know if I was going to be a missionary, but I knew that whatever I did with my life had to contribute to making disciples. Because this is why I'm here. This is the answer to the question. This is why all of us are here, really. So, 50 years later, this word that the Lord spoke to me is really the clearest word I have ever heard from God. Now, as I've studied the Bible, as I've learned about the truth of what he says in his word, really what that means is found in several places. One of the places is Matthew 6:33. Okay, next slide. We read this earlier. The Ilocano of this, since it's in English, you can read it. I pangpangruna yo ket di. Abirokan ti pagaryana, kentungpalan ti pagayatana, ket itednanto amin akasapulan yo. That's the promise of God. It's also the challenge of God to all of us. For all of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, if we're his followers, that means he's number one. He is the one we are to follow, not something or someone else. So when you think about what does that mean for me on Wednesday? Well, it means that however I'm spending my time or however I'm spending my money, it had better be in accordance to what it is he wants me to do. For example, when I say that a follower of Jesus follows him because he's number one, and this has to do with our finances, I know many of you are here away from home to make money so you can support your families at home. Singapore is a nice place, but if you could do the same thing at home, you would probably be at home, diba? It's nice to visit the Singapore, but, you know, this is not your home. But you have a reason to be here, and a lot of it has to do with finances. And I'm not sure, and I'm not here to tell you how to spend your money, okay? I would highly recommend you follow the biblical principle of tithing, and support this church, and if you have a church in the Philippines, yes. But here's my point. Don't think that just because you give 10% of your money to the church, you get to do what you want with the other 90%. I would say you're stealing 90% of God's money, because a follower of Jesus has surrendered everything to him. So 100% of your money is his. He will tell you what to do with it. Okay? And our time, too. It's his. One of the expressions that we learned when I was in Bible school in the context of this passage. Live with eternity's values in view. Live with eternity's values in view. Ilocano na? Agbyag ka asi papanunot dagiti bambanag amataginayon. So the Lord is simply telling us your values need to be based on the values of eternity, not on the values of today. The immediate things that might gratify you. Next slide, please. Another reference that is connected to this idea about there's more to life than playing baseball. The Ilocano is this. When ibilang ko amin ang apukaw, tapno mo gudud ko ti napatpateg nga isu ti panak amo ken Kristo Jesus nga apuk. Kapuken kwana binaybay ko ti amin ang masansan idi nga armidik. Imbeling ko amin inida akas rugit tapno kaskunadan magunud ko ni Kristo ket awan ti pagkurangan ti panakikaykaysa kenkuana. So if our surrender is naimpuswan with the heart, if it is complete, okay, and if everything we offer aming idaton tayo, all of the other things that we are worried about, all of the things that make us work and work hard. I know you work hard. You can't compare the life of eternity with the life of today. Are you concerned about corta, pera? Are you concerned about your lack of possessions? All of those are deceitful things. They demand so much attention. But they're all temporary. They're all short-lived. Agbyagka si papanunat nagdipambana gamataganayon. Live with eternity's values in view. And of course, since I am a missionary, the Lord did graciously call me to be a missionary. I'm still surprised at it to this day. I found out the first village we lived in was a village called Agashan. Okay? We have a Karuba here. And I was happy to find out that the reason for the name of the village was because someone made a language mistake. It wasn't only Americans that made language mistakes. Okay, how many of you here speak Tagalog? Okay. But there's some who don't speak Tagalog. Well, this is the story. Back in the 1920s, a lot of Ilocanos moved from one side of the island of Luzon to Cagayan Valley, where we lived. So they spoke Ilocano. They understood some Tagalog, but not too much. Konti. Like an Americano. Konti lang. Well, there was a man that was out collecting some herbs, medicinal herbs, that were growing there. They were all over the place in that part of the valley. And an old Tagalog guy was walking by. And he asked the Ilocano what the name of the village was. But the guy who was speaking Ilocano didn't understand him. So he thought, he asked him what he was doing and what he was planting. And he said, Agasyan. Okay. The Tagalog word for medicinal herbs is agas. And then yan is Tagalog for there. So he was planting agasyan. But when the guy heard him say that, he thought, oh, that's the name of the village, Agasyan. It's very good. So it's not only Americans that make mistakes, even Filipinos make mistakes. Anyway. So I became a missionary. I had the privilege of going to Agashan, learning Ilocano. And part of the reason I went was Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And really, yeah, it's a verse about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. But the imperative verb of that section is to make disciples. Okay? My Ilocano is better than my English sometimes. Sorry, Pastor. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Okay. Isuro yo ida ngagtungpal kargiti amin ng imbiling ko. That's the one. So perhaps today you think, well, at least I came to church, so I don't feel guilty because I listened to Pastor Paul's sermon in person. I didn't listen to it online. I was here, so hanak makonkonsensya. But, you know, perhaps you stumble sometimes. Maybe you sin. Maybe you don't act wisely. I think we should take courage in this verse that says we're to teach them to observe. That means we don't know. Okay? That means we have to be taught. We have to grow in our ability to obey. That's what it means to be a disciple. Really, to be a disciple is to become one who obeys the Lord more and more frequently and to a greater and greater degree. Because we all have weaknesses, but His promise is true, and our faith will be rewarded if we trust Him to bring that change into our life. That is a great promise, and Jesus made it clear that that's what he expects of us, but it's also something he has provided us with. And that is his Holy Spirit. Do you realize the greatness of that promise that closes the book of Matthew? Yes, God is here with us in a special way because we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And the illustration of the uging uging, uling uling, the charcoal. It's true. We bring one another strength and encouragement, and it's important to do that. So we encourage one another, but I can't be everywhere. Pastor Paul can't be everywhere. Sister Vanjie can't be everywhere. Who can be everywhere? Jesus. So this week, wherever you are, wherever you're working, whatever you're doing, believe that that's true. He is with you always until the end of the world. What a great promise. His companionship. You know, I learned a lot about the importance of having a companion when I went to the Philippines. They never wanted you to do anything by yourself. Pastor Paul, I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself. It's like, can you just leave me alone? No, they wouldn't leave me alone. You had to have a companion to do everything. And I began to appreciate it. And really, as I began to appreciate it, I began to appreciate the truth that Jesus is with me every moment of every day, whether I'm doing a hard job, an easy job, whoever I'm with, he is there. What a great promise. Let me pray. Let me pray for you. And I would simply ask that you take the challenge that Jesus has for you by faith, because he will answer your prayers. So let's pray. Father, I am so very thankful that you can take even something as horrible as the death of my cousin and those other people and turn it into something glorious in my life, because you are a miraculous God. You are one who can bring and birth things out of evil. And so when you say that you will be with us always, God, I pray for each one in this room that they would believe you. That this week, regardless of the circumstances that they find themselves in, that they will know that your promise is true and that you have given them your Holy Spirit to be your very real presence in their life this week. What a glorious blessing to have a companion like that. I pray you'd strengthen their faith so that they might not be deceived into thinking that they are all alone, but that you are with them. Thank you, God, for being with us today. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the truth that comes from your word. And thank you for your unbelievably great love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.